Years ago, when I was involved in evangelism with college and university students and other young people, I would hear numerous questions and objections to the gospel. And probably the most frequent one I heard was this: is Jesus Christ the only way to God? I give the answer today that I did then. I have not changed because the Bible has not changed. The Bible's answer is unequivocally yes. Jesus Christ is the one and only way to God. But that's not comfortable with a lot of people. Now, most people in the world have some kind of religion, and people have tried all kinds of ways to find God, as they say. Some keep trying, some change ways, others give up, and some hardly care. And some even come to the conclusion there is no way to know, or if there is, I don't know what it is. But what does God say? What is the way to know God? Is there a way? Yes, there is. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is that way, the only way. And there is hardly any truth of Christianity more despised than this. Oh, if you've shared this truth with unbelievers, they'll say, wait a second. There are many ways to know God. Where do you come off saying Jesus is the only way? Now, when we say a way to God, that assumes that we need to know God. And that's exactly what God says, that we are lost, and a lost man needs to know the way back home. He needs directions. We need to know God, and we're lost. And that's hard for us to admit. What does the Bible say? Well, when I'm ever asked this question, I always quote the verse we're looking at today. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's open our Bibles to that verse, because we're going to look at this very closely and then bring in some other Bible verses as well. John 14:6. You'll notice that this is the sixth of the I am statements recorded in John's gospel. Each time Jesus is saying it in such a way that he is claiming to be God and saying what that means. Notice he says, I am the way, not a way, the truth, the life. Hebrews 10:20 says Jesus has opened up a new and living way. Interesting, the Latin for this verse is that Jesus is the via, the veritas, and the vita. Very alliterative. He is the way, the truth, the life. He himself said so. Approximately 600 years ago, a medieval monk wrote a best-selling book called The Imitation of Christ. And in it, Thomas A. Kempis paraphrased these words like this: follow thou me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way thou must follow, the truth thou must believe, the life for which thou must hope. I am the inviolable way, the infallible truth, the never-ending life. I am the straightest way, the sovereign truth, life, true life, blessed life, uncreated. That's not bad. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. So let's go through this verse as we see all the depth of meaning in Jesus Christ himself claiming to be the only way to God. First, he says, I am the way. His statement begins with the personal pronoun I, and that tells us something very significant. The way to God is a person, not a practice. Jesus didn't say, the way is do this and you can make it to heaven. No, he doesn't say do this. He says, believe me, I am the way. So it's a person, not a practice. And he doesn't mean, well, live like I do. I am the example. He says, I am the way, not simply the example to follow. It's more than that. It's like a man that gets lost in a different city and he doesn't know the way to where he's going. And he doesn't have a map, so he pulls into a gas station. He sees a man. He says, excuse me, sir, can you tell me the way to such and such a place? And so the man that lives there says, well, I know where that is. Go 5 miles here and then turn right at the bridge and then cross over the bridge and you'll see a big tree. Turn left, go 2.5 miles and you'll see a little store. Turn left and look out. There's a lady who always has a dog in the street. Don't hit the dog. Keep going. And by this time, the man has lost track of the directions. And so the other man says, look, tell you what, I'm going there. Just follow me. I will take you. Well, that's kind of what Jesus says. He doesn't give us intricate directions and complicated things and says, do this and you might make it. He says, I am the way. I will take you there. So that's why he says, personally, I am the way. Nobody comes except through me. Now, again, he says the way, not a way. He means this is the only way, the unique way, not one among many, not even the best way. He says this is the only way to God. God's way is the only way to God. Now, the word way there in the Greek is hados. The word means a road, a path, a street. The course that is taken to reach a certain destination. Look at the context. He says in verse 4, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas had forgotten all this, so he says, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? We don't know the destination, let alone the route to get there. So Jesus said, I am the way, Thomas. And it's the destination we need to reach to get to God. It's like he's saying, we're here, we need to get there. How do we get from here to there? Jesus said, you were here lost in your sins. You need to get to God and to God's heaven. And the way is standing right before you. He says, I am the way, Thomas, the one and only way. And that phrase, the way, was picked up by Christians later on. And Christians were often called followers of the way. Acts 9:2 and 19:9. The way was a term for Christianity. Some 30-something years ago, there was a movement among young people, and thousands of young people across the country were saved, and some of us were saved in that movement, the Jesus Freaks. And you remember what they would do? You remember that, Gary? They put their finger in the air and say, one way. Some of those no longer believe there's one way, but I, for one, still believe the Bible says there's one way to heaven. In Matthew 7:13 and 14, Jesus explained it like this. He said, everybody in the world is traveling on one of two roads, one of two ways, as it were. And he said, most people are traveling on this road. It's a wide road. It's a broad street, kind of like an interstate highway with many different lanes. And everybody's driving fast, and it's a very scenic route. And he says, most people are on that way. But he says, that is the road that leads to destruction, to hell. That's not the way to God. Then Jesus says, but there's another way, another little road. Oh, it's not wide. It's a little narrow country road. You ever been on a little narrow country road? And it's so narrow, you can hardly even pass a man on a tractor. Two cars can hardly meet going in opposite directions. Jesus said, that's the right way. It's narrow, but not like the interstate with many people. He says, few people are on this way, but this is the way that leads to eternal life. And Jesus is that way. And because the other way is so broad and with so many lanes, it's as if he is saying, there are many ways to go to hell, but only one way to go to heaven. Or as he says here, I am the way. 2 Peter 2:15 warns about people that have gone astray from the right way. They're on the wrong way. They need to get off of the wrong way, do a U-turn, and find the right way. Because, friends, it just stands to reason, you can't reach your destination by going in the wrong direction or taking the wrong road. So there are a lot of people on the wrong roads, but they think they're going to get to heaven there. That's like trying to get to Chicago by heading south on I-55. You can't do it. You have to be on the right way to get to the right destination. Jesus said, "I am the way." He did not say, "There is a way. I wonder what it is. Make your own way." He didn't say that. It's reported that Gautama Buddha said, "Find the way and follow it." Jesus never said that. He said, "I am the way. Follow me." But we don't like this, do we? We're like a spoiled child that wants to get his own way and do what he wants to. And one of our favorite songs as sinners is Frank Sinatra's old song, "I Did It My Way." And God says, if you're going to get to heaven, you got to go my way, not your way. But people want their way. And they say, what's wrong with my way? I have a right to choose my way. And it seems the right way. And God says, no. Listen to what he says. Proverbs 14:12. God says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So people are on the broad way, many different ways, thinking this is the way to peace, happiness, and God. But they're deceived. They're on the devil's way. And the devil is egging them along. God says it leads to hell. Jesus said, "I am the way." Secondly, he said, "I am the truth." Notice again, "I am the truth." It's a personal pronoun, which tells us that ultimate truth is a person, not a principle. Ultimate truth is God. God is the truth. And Jesus is God in human form, come down to us so that we can know the truth of God and God who is truth. All real truth, ultimate truth, is in the person of Jesus Christ. Bible calls it the truth as it is in Jesus over in the book of Ephesians. Now here's where we see the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ different than other so-called great religious leaders. Jesus was not just a teacher of truth. He was the truth itself. He was teaching about himself. And this is what we need to know. We don't need just another teacher. We need the truth itself. To be more precise, we need the truth himself, and that's the Lord Jesus. One of the great questions of philosophy is, what is truth? If you read the ancient Greeks, such as Plato, you find that they were always asking three questions. What is beauty? What is justice? What is truth? And they wrote over and over about that and had many different theories. And the most important question was, what is truth? We find Plato being echoed by Pontius Pilate when he was interviewing the Lord Jesus at his trial, and Jesus said something and Pilate scoffed and said, what is truth? As if there is no truth, I wish I knew. What is truth? And yet he was standing just a few inches away from truth itself, truth incarnate, the one that said, "I am the truth." Ultimate truth is not found in brute facts or philosophical theories or mathematics or science. Ultimate truth is found in God. And Jesus said, "I am the truth." He is the truth of God, God the truth in human flesh. And so there may be some place for philosophy, but it can ask the right questions, but it can't give the ultimate answer. Nor is ultimate truth to be found in something that's relative or absolute. That's what people like to discuss. I found that years ago. College students would debate, usually with a cup of coffee or a can of beer, and they'd say, "Is truth absolute or relative?" And some would bang their mugs of coffee and say, "Truth is absolute. There's always an absolute right and wrong and truth and error." And others would say, no, this. These usually the guys with the cans of beer. And they'd say, no, everything is relative. We're postmodern, and you get your truth and I got my own truth. And you make your own truth, and everything is relative. What's right for me is not right for you. So you have people saying it's absolute or it's relative. They're both wrong. Because those that are saying it's absolute are saying there are certain brute facts that are just true. 1 + 1 = 2. They're just like that. Well, neither one is right because Jesus said, "I am the truth." Not some abstract, absolute principle, but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all other claims to be truth have to be measured by Jesus Christ, who is truth itself. He says, I am the truth. And this coordinates with his first claim, I am the way, as if he says, I am the way, the true way, the way of truth. Thirdly, Jesus said, I am the life. Again, notice the personal pronoun, I am the life. True life is not a biological process or a chemical reaction. You know, you can be a botanist and study these flowers. You can be a zoologist and study the animals. You can be an anatomist and study human life. And you can try to measure it. And they say, well, some say it's just a chemical process or a biological function. No, that is the observable data. But what is life itself? Life comes from God, who is the source of all life. He is the living God. He has self-generating life within himself. And he says he gives life to everything. These flowers get life from God. We get life from God. Jesus said, I am the life. And that's one of the themes of the Gospel of John. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the resurrection and the life. Here he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we receive true life only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he gives biological life to everything already, but he gives eternal life, spiritual life, to those that believe in him. And that's how we come to know God. Jesus is God. God is life. And Jesus is the conduit by which the living God gives spiritual life to dead sinners. You say, well, I'm not dead. I'm alive. I can make a fist. I can sing a song. I'm alive. Physically, yes. Spiritually, no. Jesus said, I am the source of life. Come to me and really live. He said in John 10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, we need this life in order to know God, because we're dead in our sins, and only Jesus can give us that life. You could put it like this when he says the way, the truth, and the life. We are lost. We need the way. We're confused. We need the truth. We are dead. We need the life. And Jesus is the answer to all three of our basic needs there in order to really know God. And so others will ask the question, well, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Where did I come from? Well, we are here to know God and to know him in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. And so the meaning of life is to be found in God. And it gets back to the question, okay, how do I know God? And Jesus gives us the answer. He says, I am the way that you can know God. I am the true way and the way that is alive. Now, we need a way to receive the life of God in order to know God. He is alive. We are dead. Therefore, we need a living way, a way of life. And Jesus says, I am that way. I am that life. Now, lest his disciples and people today misunderstand this, he clarified it. Look at the second part of the verse. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That should be clear enough. But lest anybody misunderstands, he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's very explicit here. That's about as plain as human language can be. I dare you to come up with an answer more explicit than this. Are there many ways to God? No. Jesus said, I am the way, one and only. And he said, well, there must be some exceptions. Jesus said, no, no one comes to the Father but through me. And so those that say, well, there must be some other way. Jesus must have meant something. Maybe there's some secret meaning between the words. I want to say, what part of the words, no one, do you not understand? That's an absolute universal statement. It admits of no exceptions. Now, notice how Jesus puts it. He first states it in the positive, I am the way, and then he puts it in the negative. No one comes to the Father but through me. You cannot reinterpret this to suit human opinions like many people do. Many people say they are Christians and they say, yes, Jesus is a way to heaven. If you believe in him, you will come to know God. But if you don't believe in Jesus, there still might be some other way. That is not honest to what Jesus says. That's dishonest. There's no secret meaning here, and there's no way to evade these words. Jesus meant it that way, and he excludes all other options. He meant to exclude all other options. He shuts all other doors and says, I am the way. So you can't come up with any of the nonsense that says he was a great teacher, he's a good way. Even the best way. Jesus said, I am the only way. You can't make it to the Father except this way. Me. I am the way. I like to put it like this. He has the monopoly on God. He has been granted the concession on knowing God. There are no other competitors in this. Oh, there are the ones that pretend, but they cannot grant what they promise. It's as if Jesus said, you want to know God? I've got the monopoly on God. You've got to come to me. Otherwise, you can't know God. But if you want to know God, you've come to the right place. This is 100% exclusivity. The gospel is exclusive, not inclusive. It's not, well, it's the best way among many ways. The Bible says it is the only way, the one and only. No exceptions. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. But a lot of people don't like that. I have actually met people that say this. They say, that's right, for most people. But I remember one guy said, but God and I have a secret deal. You know, I was on a mountaintop once and I was praying and you know, I just got close to God and we cut a special deal. And so I know God, but you know, that's just kind of an exception to the rule. And everybody else has to believe in Jesus. No. Who do you think you're fooling when you come up with little special deals? Jesus excludes all other options. There are no secret deals, no exceptions. And Jesus himself says this. Notice again, he says, I am the way. And then he uses another couple of personal pronouns. No one comes to the Father except through me. Me, I, me, mine, him, myself. He's talking about himself. So what do we make of that? Well, it's very obvious, since he's allowing no other exceptions and he says, I am the one and only way, we're left no other option than this. Jesus was either extremely arrogant, a megalomaniac, in which case we ought to dismiss him and maybe shut him up in an insane asylum. Who does he think saying he's the only way to God? Or we can say he's joking. Oh, come on, Jesus. No, he's not joking. Or we can say that maybe they misunderstand him, but you can't misunderstand this. He's not joking. He's not crazy. He's not just another good teacher saying, let me give you another option, like advertising in the paper for different ways to do this or that, or many different gas stations you can fill up with gas. Jesus is saying, there is only one way, and that's the way he meant it. In fact, he said it on several occasions. We've already said what he said about the two roads. Listen to what else he said. John 8:24. He said, you will die in your sins unless you believe I am. And in John 10, he said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. He says, I am the one and only door. That's comparable to what he says here about my Father's house. To get to the Father's house, you have to go through the door. Only one door. There's not a back door. There's not a side door. You can't climb in the window. You can't even climb down the chimney like Santa Claus. He says, I am the door. You have to come through me. Matthew 11:27, Jesus was also exclusive. He said, no one knows the Father except the Son and him to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. We'll say more about that next week because Jesus picks up on this idea that he alone reveals the Father. So Jesus claimed this. What about his earliest followers, those that knew him best? They said the same thing. Earlier we read Acts 4:12, where Peter approached the council of the Jews and said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. No other name. Totally exclusive. Now Jesus says no one comes to the Father, not just God in general, but to know God as a Father, not just as a Creator. Now, again, this will challenge much popular thinking. People will say, well, God's everybody's father. Not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, God is everybody's creator, but not everybody's father. We need to come to know God as Father by adoption, by salvation. And Jesus said he is the only way into the family of God. And then when we know God as Father, then we are ready to enter the Father's house that Jesus has already been talking about. He says, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. The place is prepared, and Jesus says, to get in, you have to come through me. I am the way, I am the door. Now, there are those that still want to chew this over and say, boy, I don't know if I can swallow that. Sounds pretty exclusive. Jesus is the only way. So I like to say, well, think about it. Why do you think that this is a problem? They say, well, they'll say, why is Jesus the only way? What makes him so special? Okay, they don't want to say he's a megalomaniac. So they say, well, what is special about Jesus that he is the only way? Well, the Bible tells us the answer, and it's two things. Number one, who he is, and secondly, what he did. He is unique in his person. He is unique in his work. 1 Timothy 2:5 puts it like this. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus alone is the mediator because only Jesus is God and man. We need a go-between, a mediator. Jesus is the only one that is both. He is the only time God became a man. He is the only man that is also God. No other person occupies that unique role. Secondly, Jesus, as the God-man, did what no other person did. He alone was qualified to die for our sins and to rise. And that's what the mediator had to do in order to bring us to God. Now, that's the gospel. Who Jesus is and what he did. And by believing the gospel and personally trusting in Jesus, we come to know God. But again, that's not good for people. A lot of people say, that's not good enough for me. This is not a popular truth. Some of you have talked to people, friends, relatives, people at school, and they say, oh, you hard-nosed Christians, you Bible-thumping fundamentalists, you think you have the whole truth and everybody else is wrong. Well, before we cave into that sort of pressure, we need to stand by what Jesus said. He said he is the way. It's not our opinion, it's what Jesus said. By the way, whenever they throw this at you, well, and they'll say, well, that's just your interpretation, just duck it and say, well, wait a second, I'm not going to interpret it. Let me just quote you what Jesus said without opinion, without interpretation. Quote this verse, memorize it, and be ready to quote it to people. But they don't like it. It's very politically incorrect. By far, most books, websites, college courses and TV shows on the subject of comparative religion will say there are many ways to God. They'll say the great religions of the world and the great teachers and the philosophies, there are many ways. And it usually works like this. Maybe you've heard the illustration. I have. And they say it's like this. They say there's a God. Whoever, whatever, he, she, or it is like at the top of a mountain. And they say, we have to climb that mountain. And they'll even say things like, you know, there are many ways to the top of the mountain. Just like climbing Mount Everest. You can go up the north side or the south side. Or if you're really daring, you can go on the east side. And they say that's the way it is with God. He's at the top of the mountain. And there are some ways that are quicker to the top of the mountain. Any mountain climber will tell you that. And other ones are very dangerous. You know, it'll take hard work and it's dangerous. And you just might fall off and not make it to the top. You need a guide to show you the way. And they say that some people have climbed the mountain many times. But they'll say that's the way it is with God. Many ways, some are better than others. And they may even concede to Christianity that Jesus is perhaps the best way or the smoothest, most direct way. But then they'll back off and say, but he's not the only way, just like there are many ways to the top of the mountain. And when they throw this argument, they usually fold their hands and get very smug and say, well, there you have it. There are many ways to God, just like many ways to the top of a mountain. How do we reply to that? Jesus knew about those sort of arguments even in his day, and this one verse brushes all of that aside. All of their arguments, all of the illustrations about mountain climbing and everything, when Jesus says, no, no one comes to the Father except through me. He is saying there's only one way to the top of the mountain, to God. Now let's apply this to a number of the supposed ways to God that people put forth. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but by me. Notice he says, no one. What about self-effort? Nope. What about self-reformation? Nope. Self-realization, self-actualization? Jesus says, no. Good deeds? Nope. Sacraments? Nope. Prayer, Bible reading, church membership? Jesus says, no. What part of the word no do you not understand? They'll say, well, what about lighting candles, kneeling in church, memorizing a catechism? Jesus says, no. Being a nice person, trying to keep the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule? No. Having more good deeds than bad deeds? No. God says, no one comes to the Father but through me. All those ways are extremely popular, but they're all dead ends. They are not the way to know God. None of these will take a person to God. Nor philosophy, psychology, sociology, anthropology, or any other ology. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. Period. Full stop. End of argument. Now, if this is the case, then what do we make of other religions? Think about it. When he says, no one comes to the Father except through me, I am the way, then what do we make of other supposed ways, other great world religions, as they are called? What do we make of them? Well, the Bible tells us. The Bible does not say all religions are basically the same. You'll probably hear that. That is ludicrous. They are not all the same. They might all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Christianity, Judaism, Islam says there's one God. Hinduism says there's 330 million gods. They both can't be right. And then Buddhism says everything is God, which is another way of saying nothing is God. There is no God. And then Confucianism says, well, whether there's a God or not, it doesn't matter. It's holy living that matters. And then you get dualism that says there's two gods. How can you possibly reconcile all of those and come up with this nonsense that says they're all basically the same? That's ludicrous. That's nonsense. I would, however, say, in the light of what Jesus says, that there is a sense, two senses, actually, in which all religions are the same. One is that they're all religions. Man is inescapably religious, and even if he's not a Christian, he has some religion, even atheism or humanism. So that's one sense in which they're all the same. They're all religions. But the other sense is more important. They are all alike in one way. They are all wrong. Oh, some of them are closer to the truth than others. Judaism is a lot closer to the truth than, say, Buddhism or Sikhism. But closeness does not matter. You can still be very close, but still be on the wrong side of the line. You can still be close to a door, but you're still on this side and not that side. But they are incompatible with each other. Therefore, they can't all be right. And most importantly, they are incompatible with Jesus Christ. Since one religion says there's many gods and God says there's only one God, you can eliminate that one. Or others that say there is one God, like Islam, but they say Jesus isn't God, you can eliminate Islam. You can go right down the checklist, weigh it all with the claims of God Himself in the Bible, and if they don't agree with what God says, then they are teaching false ways. Therefore, they are wrong ways. But again, some people don't like this. Perhaps you've met people and they argue like this. They'll say, no, wait a second. You're arguing like this because this is your upbringing here in America. And they'll even get personal, say, Kurt, you're from down south in the Bible Belt. And that's all you were taught. You don't know any better. Poor little Kurt, you're just kind of, you know, you've got a little world like this. Well, wait a second. I lived overseas 7 years, so it doesn't have anything to do where I'm from. It's not my personal opinion. It's what Jesus says. But they'll do this. They'll hit below the belt. And they'll say, I'm cosmopolitan. I've been around the world. And I've met people that say, you know, I've been to some of your churches and they're all just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, I half agree with them on that, but I'll let them continue. And they'll say, You know, I was on a trip once, and I went over to Bali or somewhere like this, and they say, you know, just out of curiosity, I went into some Buddhist temple. And there were these people sitting around kneeling and in the lotus position and shaved heads, and they were chanting. And you know, they were so holy, and I never sensed that in a church of Christianity. And you know, they know God. And then I went to India, and I met a holy man. And he was so holy, he didn't even wear shoes. He took a pledge to some god, Shiva, one of the others, that he will never wear shoes, and a vow of poverty. That's a holy man. And these are different ways. And they say, I went to Japan and went to a Zen Buddhist temple. And they say, I've tried all these ways. And oh, all these ways are good ways. And you say Christianity is the only way. And they say, I know better because I've been to these other places. How do we answer that? We answer them in the way God does. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but by me. What is God's estimation of non-Christian religions? Read your own Bible. From cover to cover, literally from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you find the answer. God says this, look it up in the book of Psalms. God says, all the gods of the heathen are idols. God considers all pagan religions are rooted in idolatry, paganism. They're worshiping false gods, not the one true God. And what does God say about their prophets? He says they're false prophets. They're leading people astray. What about their holy books? Filled with lies and delusions. God does not speak well of non-Christian religions. He speaks in blunt terms, saying they are wrong ways. They are leading to hell. They are not leading to God. And he warns us about them. But again, some people don't like that. For example, someone might say, you know, back in the early 90s, there was this big meeting up in Chicago. Maybe some of you remember it. The World Parliament of Religions. They had the first one in 1893 and the second one in 1993. And you had gurus coming in from India and holy men from all around the world. You had Muslims and even a few token Christians and all the religions of the world represented. And they danced and they sang and they rang bells and burned incense and they all hugged. And they said, this just is one big happy family of mankind showing the different ways to God. When people spoke like that, I like to say, all religions lead to God? They say, yes. I say, well, and I get dirty with them. I say, what about Satanism? And they say, what? I say, yeah, what about these fanatics that'll kidnap some teenager, torture her, and offer her as a human sacrifice to their demonic god? Oh, will that lead you to know the one true God? And they say, oh, now, come on now. I say, well, you come on now. You've said all religions? How about the religion of Charles Manson and idiot fanatics like that? And they said, well, we're not talking about that. I said, yes, you did when you said all religions. And I said, what about Baalism? In the Old Testament, they had human sacrifices and orgies in their religious rituals. Does that lead to God? God says, no, it does not. God abominates it. And so all the other religions today are simply leftovers of the religions the Bible itself condemns in Bible days. So Jesus says, nobody comes to the Father but through me. God casts scorn upon all non-Christian religions. The same is true with all philosophical ways. There are those that say, well, we don't want religion, we want philosophy, mainly coming from ancient Greece. Sorry, but Colossians 2 and 1 Corinthians 1 and other places pour scorn upon philosophy. They are no more close to the truth, opening the door to heaven, than religions are. Jesus said, no one, no religious leader, no philosopher comes to the Father except through me. He says, no one, and there are no exceptions. This is regardless of religion or philosophy, family lineage or race, intellectual ability or economic class. Jesus says, no one. Very exclusive. Now, let me give you three or four of the other objections people will give. Maybe you've heard them. Maybe you will yet hear them. Here's one. Very popular. The people that say this are like the old hippies with flowers in their hair. And they will say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. That's not what the Bible says. God says, again, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can be sincerely wrong. Oh, there are people in other religions that are very sincere. I'm not going to say they're hypocrites. They practice what they preach. Problem is, they're preaching the wrong thing. Sincerity is not enough. What about this sort of case? I heard about something like this a few years ago. A mother had a little sick baby, and the baby was sick, and the mother had gotten a prescription from the doctor, and in the middle of the night, the baby starts letting loose, crying, and the mother says, oh, I better get the medicine, and didn't even have time to turn on the light, went to the medicine cabinet, grabbed the bottle, and grabbed the baby, and said, well, here, I'll just pour it right in your mouth, and the baby stopped crying, because it was poison, and it killed the baby, and she turned on the light, what have I done? She was sincere, but the baby was still dead. There are people today in other religions so sincere, but they're drinking poison. Sorry, it does matter what you believe, and sincerity is not enough. Now, here's the next objection. To say Jesus is the only way is not democratic. They say, we have the right to decide for ourselves how to know God. We have the right to find God in our own way. We believe in pluralism, multiculturalism, and diversity. That's what made America great. E pluribus unum. God bless America. But that's not what God says. God says, no one comes to the Father except through me. They say, we have the right to get to God in our own way. Nobody has the right to be wrong. And all of the ways are wrong. God doesn't say, find your own way, take a vote, whatever's most democratic, multicultural diversity. God says, no, nobody comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. God's dogmatic. Third objection. Well, most people believe there are many ways to God. And do you think that you're the only one that's right and everybody else is wrong? They usually get kind of below the belt on that. Most people believe there are many ways to God. And the answer is, then most people are wrong. Truth is determined by God, not majority opinion or public opinion polls. God's word trumps all human opinions. How about this one? But our greatest theologians say that there are many ways to God. And they'll say, well, what about Hans Küng, a world-class theologian out of Germany? And he's written books on this, and there are many ways to God. Our greatest theologians say this. To which we reply, then they are not our greatest theologians if they contradict the word of God. They are wrong. They are false prophets, just like the false prophets of false religions. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, is because there is no light in them. That applies to not only false prophets of pagan religions, but the false prophets of the so-called greatest theologians of Christianity. Now, here's another one that's very clever. And it puts a lot of Christians on the defensive. They say, well, what about the Jews? They say, well, we're not going to talk about the Muslims, the Hindus. What about the Jews? Are you saying that if a Jew doesn't believe in Jesus, he is damned to eternal condemnation? And then they'll usually insinuate that what we're saying is anti-Semitic. I've heard that from Jews and Gentiles. They say, you're anti-Semitic when you say if a Jew doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Larry King threw that at John MacArthur on national TV. And Larry King is a Jew. And he said, John, are you saying that if a Jew doesn't believe in your Jesus, he's not going to make it? And John MacArthur said something like, if a Jew or Gentile doesn't believe, he's not going to make it to God. Doesn't matter his race. So I'm not being anti-Semitic anymore than I'm being anti-Gentile. Doesn't matter race. It's a matter of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a variation of this. And unfortunately, some otherwise gullible Christians are giving this answer to try to give in and say, well, yeah, Hindus, Buddhists, they can't make it to God, certainly not Muslims. But they're trying to make some alternative way for unbelieving Jews to make it. And maybe you've heard of the theory. If you haven't, you might hear it someday. It's this. It's the theory of the dual covenant way to God. And they say, well, you know, you've got two testaments in the Bible, the old and the new. One was before Jesus, one's after. And the old covenant was for Jews. And Jews today, if they don't believe in Jesus, they still have the other covenant for Jews. So if they are a good Jew, they don't have to be perfect, but if they believe in the one true God and they try to keep the Ten Commandments, okay, they don't go to church, but they go to the synagogue and they listen to the rabbi and they say their prayers with their prayer shawls and they try to keep the kosher food laws, God will accept that under the dual covenant theory. No. No, no, no. Because we see that exposed in the New Testament itself. We read earlier Acts 4:12. It was Peter, a Jew, speaking to the Jewish council and said, there is no salvation in any other person than the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the book of Galatians where Paul says, if Jews could be saved by keeping the law, Jesus died in vain. There's no need for Jesus. And besides, the old covenant has been totally done away with and replaced by the new. Jews and Gentiles need to believe in Jesus. Jesus says no one comes to the Father. Now here's the last objection. And it's kind of like where they take the kid gloves off and really start hitting hard and they say this. It's not fair to say there's only one way to God. That's bigotry with a capital B. We can reply very tactfully and say, you've forgotten something. We are guilty sinners. We are in no place to argue with God about how many ways there are to God. If God says there is only one way, we cannot argue. God did not have to give us a way. Rather than complaining that there's only one way, we should get on our hands and knees and thank God that there is a way, rather than complaining like spoiled children. Well, we've answered some of the major objections. Again, why does this statement of Jesus Christ offend so many people? It's because of pride. Fallen man wants to decide if there is a God, or as C.S. Lewis says, they put God in the dock and cross-examine him and put him on trial. It's the other way around. We're in no place to do that. But we want to be the one that decides if there is a God and how to get to God and if it suits us. That's the truth. We are the measure of all things true and fair. But that's not what God says. What Jesus says here is offensive to fallen man. It was meant to be as offensive as it is exclusive. He is trying to break our pride and say, your way cannot make it. He loves us enough to warn us of the other ways and to say, this is the way, the only way. We can't erase the truth just because we don't like it. The truth remains the truth still, whether we like it, whether most people believe in it or not. We either side with Jesus against all these other systems, or we side with them against Jesus. I, for one, will stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Christianity dogmatic? You bet it is. It's exclusive and says there is only one way. Jesus says so, and that ends all arguments. The bottom line is this. Why do Christians believe Jesus Christ is the only way to God? They will ask you that. You say this, they'll say, okay, why is Jesus? Well, we've tried to show already because of who he is, what he did. But it really comes down to this. Why do we believe Jesus is the only way? Because God says so. End of argument. That's not open to discussion or negotiation or philosophical inquiry, majority vote. God himself says so. Don't you think God himself knows how many ways there are to him? Yes, he knows more than anybody or everybody put together. And he himself says there's only one way. He says so in the Bible. And he says so from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. It's closed. And if we disagree with God on this, there is something terribly wrong with our thinking and with our hearts. Let's close with two applications. Number one, for believers. Fellow believers, we need to hold the line on this important truth. A lot of Christians cave in on this. They say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died for our sins. They say, yes, and I need to share the gospel. I believe Jesus is the Savior. But for some reason, maybe because pride or they don't want to offend people, they want to have friends, they just can't bring themselves to tell their non-Christian friends Jesus is the only way. And so they look for alternative ways and say, well, Jesus is the way, but that doesn't mean there are not other ways. So they come up with all sorts of half-baked theories. But friends, we dare not compromise on this. Otherwise, we undermine the claims of the gospel itself. Don't compromise just to try to affect an unbeliever in the right direction. That's ludicrous. If you say, well, yes, Jesus is the way, but, you know, if you don't believe in Jesus, there might be some other way. You think that's going to win him to the Lord Jesus? You've just given him another opportunity to reject the Lord Jesus, because they'll say, well, you've just said there are other ways. Can a person be a Christian without truly believing Jesus is the only way? No. If he says Jesus is not the only way, but I still believe in Jesus, he shows he really doesn't understand the gospel. He doesn't really believe Jesus is the only Son of God, and he did what only he could do. They're confused, and they need to hear what Jesus Christ himself says. So believers need to hold the line, but not just in a defensive way where we can attack other religions. No, we need to expose other religions and present the exclusive claims of Christ so that they will know that this is the only way. We need to throw open the door and say, this is the door, the only door. Why waste your time in other ways? Those are dead ends. This is the way. So we need to hold the line, but also open the door and tell people the gospel. Tell them that Jesus is the only way and invite them. And remember this. Your non-Christian friends, your non-Christian relatives, whatever way they're on other than this, they are on the way to hell. They might be nice, they might be friendly, but if they don't truly believe in Jesus, Jesus guarantees they don't know God. We need to be Christ's ambassadors and invite them to the one true way. Lastly, what about for unbelievers? Unbelievers need to be convinced that there is no other way than the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to realize they are without hope. Their way, pagan ways, philosophy, any other way is hopeless. And really, only when a person realizes that he has no other hope than Jesus, that then and only then will he truly believe in Jesus. And for the unbeliever, he needs to know Jesus will welcome him. Jesus isn't saying, there's no way but me and I may not accept you. Jesus said earlier in John's gospel, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. So he says, I am the way, but I will receive all those that come and believe in me. And in coming to Christ, the sinner comes to know God as his Father. May the Lord bless these words from John 14:6 to encourage us in the faith and in our evangelism and to pray for non-Christians to come to Christ. Let's pray.